Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast, 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm excited about our old friend Jim Ballard being on the show with us this morning. He's just one of the best in our whole brain trust. He's the author of Mind Like Water, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World, as well as a number of other books. One of them's called What's the Rush? Another one, Well Done, which he co-wrote with Ken Blanchard, and which he has done a number of books with Ken before. And Jim is the guy that we go to when we need to make sure that our lives are straightened out, that we've got some balance in our lives. Jim Ballard, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, Jim. And I'm excited about what you want to talk about today because it's a very important topic.
Yeah,
and that is the issue of time.
I know. You know, most of us live in a time, I heard somebody call it a time famine. Meaning that we're all, you know, time poor. We don't get a good time meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. We have expressions like, hit the ground running and too much on my plate and too many balls in the air. And people are rushing through life with their hair on fire. And that's almost becoming a way of life for people. So one day I was doing that. I was on my way to a very important meeting. It was so important I can't remember what it was. But I got into one of those traffic jams, you know, and I was already late, and so I was sitting there fuming with this slow moving traffic and just banging the steering wheel. I don't remember, but I was pretty upset. And all of a sudden an idea came into my mind, and I said to myself, I'm a time millionaire. I don't know where I'd heard the expression or if I had. But, you know, I just sort of burst out laughing. All of a sudden, I said, I compared that meaning of that phrase with how I'd been acting a minute ago, and it really changed me. Mm-hmm. Just sort of an affirmation, I'm a time millionaire. And I spent the rest of that time just being calm and watching the scenery go by and, you know, thinking creative thoughts rather than, you know, blowing my top. And, of course, when I got there, the person that I was to meet hadn't shown up yet, as it usually works out. But that put me in mind of being a time millionaire. And I think that it's a little bit like yoga, you know, or if you're an athlete, a runner, you do stretching mm-hmm. exercises before that. What we need to do is stretch our minds about time. Because some of the ideas I'm going to bring up this morning, if people are so constricted as we can get when we're in time famine and feeling time poor, the notion of being a time millionaire it looks like a joke.
Well, and I can see that at some parts of our day, that might be a concept that would be difficult to understand.
It doesn't mean that we don't have to hurry sometimes, but you know, you can hurry calmly. You don't have to be all upset inside to move fast. So I'm not talking about even the outward pace, because that's a function of inward stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I believe in the stuff about that our beliefs drive our perceptions and even our feelings and actions, and that what we believe about something, you know, we act on. So if we believe that there isn't enough time, and some people often say there is never enough time, then we will act like that. And we won't be as effective. We won't be willing to be patient. We won't be with customers and our people that work for us and our families in the same way that we would if we, you know, are like that person that you say about, if you've ever known such a person, you know, I knew that he always got a whole lot done, or she, but when they gave you their attention, it always seemed like you were... It was undivided.
Mm-hmm.
They were totally there for you, even if it was only for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the way we want to be.
Now,
so the notion of being a time millionaire really goes back to a true idea. I used to say to people in training seminars, I would say, you know, what if you had all the time in the world to do what you what's right to do for you. And everybody would sort of shake their heads, and I would say, well, guess what?
You do.
You do. Because you're always making choices, and, you know, we could say that each of us has exactly the number of hours in a day or a week as a person who's in prison or a paraplegic in a hospital or a monk in a monastery, and we just choose to spend ours differently. But that approach doesn't really help us. It doesn't change our thinking. So I think in order to do that and to act like a time millionaire, something has to happen with us like happened to me in the car that day, and that's what I'd like to talk about.
How do we trigger that, though? How do we click over from banging on the steering wheel to actually being calm about this? How do we do that?
I think that was sort of a lucky chance for me, Jim. I don't think that is the way we do it. I think what you and I can do with our listeners this morning is just for a few minutes get folks to think with us about time. What it is, I think it's very helpful for us to say to me to say to you, what does time mean to you? Is it based how long you've lived or how long before you might die?
One of the things that I think about when I think about time is I think about it as the most precious commodity that we have. The reason I call it a commodity is because it's like a soybean. You know, it's everywhere. Everybody can get to it, and it looks the same wherever you find it. And so I think of time as a commodity, but I also think of it as being the most precious one that we have because we've never figured out how to replicate and how to synthesize time.
That's great. I like that.
And so the thing is if I think about it that way as something that's available to me or anybody else, as you said a minute ago, but at the same time, it's the most precious thing, really, other than your children, it's the most precious thing in your life.
Well, you know what I think you've done is at least partly, because you could go on and talk a lot with me about it, is that you've just demonstrated that you have a particular take on time that is really entirely your own. And I want to use that idea because everybody has that. We look at time as if it's a shared thing because we have our actions together in society, at work, at the home, are based on agreements about time. You know, show up then and... You know, we go by clock time. Mm-hmm. We go by this tick-tock machine that acts for us as if time is something that can be cut up into pieces and measured.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it isn't at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep talking about
it. Yeah, hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back. We've got more to talk about with our good friend Jim Ballard, the author of Mind Like Water. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Down at the station.
We're back. It's 23 after. Jim Ballard is our guest and our good friend. And folks, I want you to check out his books wherever books are sold. The last name is spelled with two L's, Ballard, just like you would think it would be spelled. And either, depending on which book you're looking at, it'll say either Jim or James. And check that out when you get a chance, especially the new one called Mind Like Water, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World. And boy, howdy, Jim, small business owners need to be able to keep our balance, that's for sure. And you know all about that because you're a small business owner too, aren't you?
Sure, and they need to be time millionaires, Jim.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're still getting our hands around what that means because I think we need to. We've got so many things pulling at us, Jim. We've got so many other people setting our agenda, our customers, our employees, our vendors.
Yeah.
Our dreams for our business. We've got so many things pulling at us. There's not enough people to do all the jobs that we have to do.
That's true.
How in the world can we be time millionaires?
Well,
and
you're
be a
just
small
talking
business owner?
About you're just talking about the life that somebody has created and the life they choose every day. When you just described one,
mm-hmm.
because not everybody is like that, but the small business owner or the average one is. And what I'm saying is, people who are serious about controlling their own lives and not just having them dumped on them every day, having them happen to them, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that you come to the end of them and you said, you know, I never, looking back, I never had any choice about it.
Right.
I was just driven through there. I think you have to take charge of your mind to begin with. You have to take charge of the mind that creates time, creates your ideas about time. Now, I want to propose a couple of things that are sort of theoretical and then a couple of things that are practical. One of them is, and these are not new ideas, but the notion of practicing abundance rather than scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And here are two extremely important assumptions I want you to consider. One of them is nothing happens by accident. I mean, a lot of people would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would say, oh, no, you know, people or things, accidents are happen to me all the time. But if you trace them back, so much of it you created either in the past or, you know, you set it up. So if you buy into the notion of nothing happens by accident, then look at the second one that goes with that, that says, now this is a larger one, the universe means us no harm. Because if you can put these two assumptions together, nothing happens by accident and the universe means us no harm. You get what that means?
Yeah, but obviously you haven't met Mr. Murphy.
I think Murphy could be listening. But because if you can assume those things, even, fake it till you make it, even as a try-on,
right,
you would find that those assumptions are, like all assumptions, are self-fulfilling.
Right.
Once you buy into them,
I do think that if you can assume that kind of an attitude, I do think that life gets a little easier for you.
Well, they comprise a reality of abundance because it means that whatever comes along is of a higher order of good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to have patience because sometimes you have to wait for the proof.
Right.
But it always is going to show up.
All right.
See, I'm just saying set those kinds of assumptions against the ones that you're operating on now. For instance, if you just laughed at those and said, you know, I can't even countenance those, then you're not realizing that you're operating under a couple of other assumptions,
right,
which are driving you.
Give us the practical ones now.
I'm sorry?
Give us the practical ones now.
Okay, right. Well, one of them is don't manage time. In other words, work from a time-rich instead of a time-famished base, and you'll get far more done in less time, and you'll enjoy it more. In other words, take those ideas and apply them to the next person that you meet, the next thing that you have come along. Do it completely and let it go, meaning that be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
See, being in the moment means that old saying that says the past is history, the future is mystery, but this moment is a gift, and that's why they call it the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so be
what you're talking about is don't bring the baggage from the last project to the new project.
Right. Right.
Sounds to me like what you're saying.
And whatever's in front of you,
I think we all do. I think small business owners especially do that. We go from one project to the other, but we keep carrying the baggage from the last projects with us, though. We don't turn them loose.
That's a harmful way to use the past, and there's also a harmful way to use the future, which a lot of people are into, which is thinking what's next.
Worry.
To the extent that they're not concentrating on what's right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you can have your kids or your customers feel like they're in your way. You know, the way that you're being with them is you're always kind of mentally glancing at your watch, and they can feel that instead of being with them. So being in the present takes self-control, meaning that you're always bringing your attention back when it wants to run off, and you'll get more done that way.
By the way,
a lot
folks,
of this, I use that expression, fake it till you make it. A lot of this is going to sound like, it's too hard to start. But start today with one little thing. And you could do something like a diet. You could say, I'm going to act like a time millionaire from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock every day until I start to get the habit.
Jim, that's going to have to be the last word. Folks, by the way, this is in chapter 16 of Jim's book, Mind Like Water. Jim Ballard, thank you for joining us today. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Ballard, he'll be back real soon. Quick break, right back, 29 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.